Yesterday we reopened Daf Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara seeks to, ultimately does, solve a kasha. The ultimate teretz to the first kasha in the Masechta is Rov. Like the first, not Shaila, the first kasha in the Masechta was Libayitre. How could it be the Rabba says B'fanech Benechtam serves to ascertain that the Gez L'Shma, if that's what it's meant to do, you should need to aid them. How come one aid suffices? And the Gemara is ultimately successful. Second Teretz is Min HaTorah, you need nothing because Min HaTorah, you rely on the rope. Midrabanan, Chazal said, we're going to ask for additional evidence, and they only asked for one aid rather than two, a kula mishum iguna. But Min HaTorah, the basis of the ultimate Teretz, the first kasha, the whole Masechta is Rov. Rov, and even a mayor, who perhaps has a higher standard, Stam Safra, the Dining Migmar. Gemini, which I just saw yesterday, Tosa says, it's a super Rov. Only Miuta, the Miuta. And we had opened this with several kashas yesterday, and I would add one more that Natan raised there in Seder. The Chalal, how do you make sense of Rav Meir? The Gemara says, Rav Meir is Chayish L'Miyuta, but Stam Safra D'Ayni Migmir Gemir. What does this even mean, Rav Meir is Chayish L'Miyuta? He doesn't hold the rope. We have the Sugya Chulin Yer Alf Amal. Rope. Akram Hattas. Other Pesukim. Number one. It's true that the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Peyam and Aleph, begins to explain a little more and gives what appears to give a Svara for the machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Mar says, according to the Chachamim, miyuta keman delesei dami. Chachamim follow the Rav because it says, oh, the miyuta doesn't exist. Implication being, as I believe Rashi already says, Rav Meir holds the miyuta does exist. Okay, but that only sort of begs the question, kasha number two, what does that mean? The miyuta exists, the miyuta doesn't exist. Of course the miyuta exists. What, this is denialism? Miyuta denialism? That's what the Chachamim practice. They deny the existence of the miyuta. If 80% is one way, so 20% is the other way. That's what, every rove has a miyut, but it's a rove. What does it mean? How does it work? And then kasha number three was, we struggled to understand what was the Gemara's response. Our mayor doesn't hold a rove, but stam sabre da yimigmer gemiri, that he does accept. So, but that's also merely just another rove. So it's funny, Tosfos is bothered by that, and an incredibly short Tosfos. I think it's the shortest Tosfos on the Amud. Probably one of the shortest Tosfos in the whole Masechta. Maybe one of the shortest Tosfos in all of Shas. Second last Tosfos on Beis and Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 words. 9 quizzes of the Dabdira Maschal. It's a pretty short Tosfos. As the Tosfos implies, well, but this is a super row. Only muta de muta against it. Okay, it says that Gemara Yevamos indicates this, that requires understanding also. And Raymond doesn't hold a rove, but if it's super rove, he does hold a rove. What makes something a super rove? And why should it matter? Either you do hold a rove, you don't hold a rove. What is the mutik man, the isidami, mutik man, the laisidami? What does any of this mean? In addition to those three kashas that you opened yesterday, I would add also what Natan pointed out. It seems like a couple of chevre were clever about this, which is another gittin kasha. If you go right to the Masechta, there's a brisa, according to the Masechta Sashat, is a Tosefta in Demai, that is quoted twice in the same parak. In parak Kol Aget, the third parak of our Masechta, the Gemara quotes on Chav Hei and again on Chav Ches, a brisa. You can take a look at the bottom of Chav Hei and Aleph, the Sanya, very famous, quoted in many, many places. As you see in Masechta Shas, many, many Masechtas, Gittin, Chulin, and Sukkah, Yuma, Erevin, Me'ilah. Halokeach Yayim Bein Akusim. I buy wine, and I have to be mafresh Trumas and Maestras. But so normally what I do is I would pour off the wine into other containers. Pour off some of the wine into this, another cup, and that's the Truma. I'll have to give to the Kohen. Pour off a little bit of wine, 10% into a third cup, and that's my Serishin. Pour off 9% into the fourth cup, and that's my Serishin. Go! But let's say I don't have any other cups. I'm traveling, I don't have any other containers. I bought wine from the Kusi. I need to offer Trumas and Maestras. But I can't until I'm offered trumas and ma'asus. It's tevels also to drink. Once I'm offered a trumas and ma'asus, I'm allowed to eat. I'm allowed to drink rather the 79% that remains, but the 21% that becomes trumas and ma'asus, I'm not allowed to drink. So if I could pour it off into other containers, gevaldik. But if I only have one container, so that seems like quite a dilemma. How do we mafir shrumas and maisers, but then only drink from the chulin, the 79%, which is chulin, not the 21%, which is now shrumas and maisers. So there was one Tana who had a solution. One Tana said, not a problem. You'll be mafir shrumas and maisers now, but you'll do it algebraically. You'll do it in a way that you know that you're not gonna drink any of it. How's that the magic trick? How am I gonna designate 21% of the wine in this container as trumas maizes, yet none of it is gonna go down my throat? The answer is you don't say the part on the right is truma, the part on the left is maizes. No. You say the 2% that I'm gonna pour off later is already now truma. And the 10% that I'm gonna pour off later is already now my Sirishan. The 9% I'm going to pour off later is already now my Sirishani. And then just start drinking. Because by definition, anything you drink is not going to be Trumas and Maisers. Because when you get home, you get more cups, you'll pour off, here's my Truma, here's my Sirishan and my Sirishani. And obviously by definition, the only thing that became Truma and Maiser was the part that ended up pouring off later. So it's a chop, it's a good chop. So anything that I drank is by definition was already chulin and not truma and not meiser. That's what the Brisa says. The bottom of chaf hey amaral. This anya halokeach yain ben akusim. I'm buying wine. I need to be mafresh truma and meisers. I don't have any other containers. What do you? I want to drink. What do you say? Shtei lugin shini asa lahafresh. The two lugin that I'm later going to pour off are already truma. Already in truma. They are truma now. It's mixed into the cup and it's all those molecules of wine that ultimately are going to pour off into the cup when I get home is already now truma. And the 10% is Meister Rishon. The 9% is already Meister Sheni. Then I'm poured in the Meister Sheni, Meichel, and then show some yad, then go ahead and drink. That's what one Tana says. The three Tanaim disagree. Who's the one Tana who's okay with this trick? Reb Meir. His Chaverim, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon, all disagree. As an aside, quick footnote, those four names, they should sound pretty familiar. For Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Yossi. They should sound pretty familiar, not only because they are four out of the five members of Rabbi Akiva's second yeshiva. Remember that Gemara Yivamas, the Lag BaOmer Gemara. But also because, as Rav Eliyahu Dordek of Mishnah Sedura points out, 80% of all named statements in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah are attributed to one of those four people. That's why they sound so familiar. I mean, there's plenty of material in Mishnah, probably most of Mishnah has no name attached. But of the statements that have names attached, 80% of them are from one of these four people. It speaks to the impact of Rabbi Akiva, and specifically Rabbi Akiva's second yeshiva. A lot to say about that. Worth thinking about. Rabbi Akiva was incredibly successful, built an enormous yeshiva, it all falls apart, and then he starts again. And a lesser person would have said, I start again, everything fell apart. What am I going to accomplish already a second time? Oh, he had a yeshiva of five Talmidim. You can imagine, like, Tzani Hadar. Right? The cynics, right? What were people blogging about Rabbi Akiva? Oh, God, also ran. You know, he's past his prime. Hey, his first yeshiva, 24,000 Talmidim. Now he's five. Please, what a joke. That's what the late Tzanim would have said. And how wrong they were. How much do we know of the 24,000 Talmidim? How many members do we have from the 24,000 Talmidim? How many names? Do we know the name of a single Talmud of the first yeshiva? Zero, as far as I know. And meanwhile, 80% of name statements of Mishnayos are from this teeny tiny, quote unquote, second yeshiva. So, we were talking this morning, Mishil Shabbat, Leitzanus. This is a powerful Musar from all of Rishas. So here, these four Talmidim argued about this issue. The mayor said, you're stuck. You bought a container of wine, you don't have anywhere to pour off trumas and maisers. The mayor says, no problem. You define your mafresh right now, but your mafresh in an algebraic way. I say, the part that's truma is the part that I'm going to pour off later. And now I have a magic trick it, and I'm good to go. And the other time, his chaverim says, nothing doing. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon says, no. this Bryce appears here in Daf Chaf, quoted in Daf Chaf and Gittin, quoted again in Daf Chaf Chesin Gittin, and the Gemara handles in several places, including here in Gittin, what exactly is the issue? Why yes and why no? One of the issues the Gemara raises, and here it is in Chavav Amud Aleph, right before the next Mishnah. Armlola Meir Yata Modasham Yibaka Anod. Aren't you worried that maybe the container will crack? They said to him, your trick is great, assuming that you end up pouring off. If the container remains whole and you get home and it hasn't spilled, and you succeed when you get home in pouring off for Truma and Maaser Isha, Maaser Sheni, Gevaldik, now it worked. But what if on the way home the container cracks and it all leaks out? What if it spills? So what happened to your Trumas and Maasers? It turns out you never were Maasers Trumas and Maasers. So the other Tanam said, this is a risky business. Your trick works, assuming that you end up succeeding, surviving to do step two, the pouring off the Bimafrish Trumas and Maasers later. But what if you never end up, that never ends up happening because the container cracks? Then it turns out that you never were successfully mafresh Trumas and Maasers. It turns out that what you drank was actually tefil. So the Tanam say, we're worried about the possibility of crackage, of breakage. And what does Rav Meir say? Lichshivaka, I'm not worried about that. So Natan points out, that's a little surprising. Rav Meir is chayish lemuta. Rav Meir is the one who's not comfortable with relying on a rope. Maybe. The mayor is the one who says, no, you can't allow the katna katana, the yavan and the yavama to stay together, because maybe it'll turn out in a year or two from now that he's a saris or she's an islandist. What are the chances? Minimal. But maybe God be chachot. The mayor is the one who's choshish for the miyat. All of a sudden here, the mayor seems very comfortable ignoring the miyat. It's ironic. Here, by the Shani Lugas and Yasla Hafrish, the mayor is the one who's going, Natan pointed out, Natan Jamal. Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with multiple Natans, both of whom have a lot of good kashas. So Natan pointed out that this is taka problem. This is very strange. So there's a solution. And the solution to that as well will lie in exploring the world of Torah Sasekis in general, which we'll do right now. There probably is a robe. How often do containers crack? If your containers usually crack, you wouldn't use them. Right? Obviously, container technology in any century was things that usually worked. So the nodim usually didn't break, otherwise they would never have liquids. So obviously the nodim usually, chances of it breaking is minimal. 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, it's not going to crack. But they're worried maybe it'll crack. Your mayor is the one who's, it's ironic, it's Dr. Mayor who seems to who'd be not worried about it. Again, there are more factors, and we will, this is to whet your appetite. And with this, let's come back to, as I said yesterday, we need to begin to root ourselves in the Yesodos of Taras HaSvekis, and then, as things develop, we'll see where it takes us. So yesterday, we again take a look at the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Aleph. Let's see a little more of that, and then we'll pivot from there. The Gemara Chulin Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, had introduced us to two types of robe. Why? Because as we talked about earlier this morning, the Gemara wanted to know where does robe come from? Let's start to take it from the top. What's the source for this principle that Chazal have all over Shas? A following robe? What type of shayla is that? Minolan, dichsev, a tema, minolan. Minolan, you don't know where it comes from. Pasim the chumash. Everyone knows chumash. That's the assumption. Acher am lahatos. Pasim mishpatim. The Gemara says no. This is where he left off for yesterday. This the Gemara proceeds, as it does in several places in Shas, to differentiate, to categorize rove into two categories. There are other categories as well. But for now, there's Ruba de Issa Kaman and Ruba de Leisa Kaman. The Gemara says Ruba de Issa Kaman, a robe that's in front of us, like Teisha Chaminis or Sanhedrin, like the robe of 13 to 12 Dayanim, or 2 to 1 Dayanim, or the robe of the meat that was Basar and Imsa. I find meat on the street in a city, a town in which there are 10 butcher shops, 9 of which are kosher and 1 is trace. So that lo kami bayalam, that was not our question. That we knew, of course. That is Ruben the Isa Kaman, which as we left off with yesterday, a closed set robe. Right? All of the items are available and observable and apprehensible. And I can list all of the items. Here are all the 23 dayanim. Here are all the 10 stores. I can directly observe that rover like this and me like that. That is, that I understand is based on Acharam Lahatos. How is that based on Acharam Lahatos? Because Acharam Lahatos is about a rove of what sort of item? What sort of person? Dayan. Right? It's close up, right? Because Acharam Lahatos, the original context, is Lechora following rove Dayan. Okay, so rove Dayan is Ruba the Isa Kama. But the question is, how about Ruba Leisa Kama? He came by on the Shiloh while Ruba delays they come on. Ruba, Ruba's not in front of me, an open set robe, a statistical statement. Like a gong, Katna Katana. Like the case of Katna Katana, again, like it was saying before, I have Yavam Katan with the Yibam with the Yavama Katana here in Yadav Amidav. And probably he's not a Saris. Probably she is not an Islandess. If those statements, if those assertions are correct, so then this is Eishas Ach B'makom Mitzvah. If he's not a Saris and she's not an Islandess, then the Mitzvah of Yibum does apply, and therefore their relations are Mutter and even a Mitzvah. But there is a Mia chance that he's a Saris or that she's an Islandess, in which case there is no Mitzvah of Yibum, in which case there is no Heter either, in which case their remaining together and living together intimately is a violation of Gilui Arayos. It's Eisha Zach Shalom HaKa Mitzvah. So Meir in the Braisa and Yivama says, they have to separate until we ascertain that he's not a Saris and she's not an Islandess, because the Meir is Chayesh and Yuta. But the Rabbanan say, no, we follow Rav, and that's what the Mishnah Mishnah and Kuf Yav and Yivamas, the Rashi quote, says, we follow Rav. So what type of Rav? That's a Ruben Leisa Kaman, or like we talked about earlier this morning, Bava Basar Dave, Chazaka, that most people don't pay their debts ahead of schedule. It's not that I lined up, it's not that I lent money to one of five people, I'm not sure which one, let me check each of the five. No, we're talking about the behavior of debtors in general. So the natural development of human beings in general. Whether it's human beings in general or the type of human being. But either way, that's the Ruba de Leisa Kaman. Statistical statement. So where does that come from? We know. So let's take a look. The Gemara goes on, of course, the Yudalfam and Alfialfam base to give a whole series of possible drushes. Let's take a look at the first one. Asya, the Ruba Lazar says, Asimereisha shal Ola. It comes from the head of the Karban Ola. The head of the Karban Ola. Gamakra. Gemara says that, and this is the model, this is the format that I think all of the suggested mekoros for a role over the course of Daf Yaf will take, which is, take a look at the following parsha, and there are multiple dinim in the following parsha, and they cannot all work together unless you're willing to rely on role. How so? If Parshat Vayikra opens with the din of Chumash Vayikra opens with the din of a carbon ola, and one of the unique carbonas have certain common features, but each type of carbon has its own unique details as well. One of the carbon ola has a number of unique details, one of which is that no one eats the meat, all the meat is burnt on the Zbeach, and in preparation for that you don't take the animal whole and throw the whole thing on the Zbeach in one chunk. The Torah says you have to cut it up into pieces first, you have to butcher the after Shechita and the Avodas Hadam, when you're preparing the animals to put on the fires of the Mizbeach, on the pyre of the Mizbeach, so the Torah says, Minitacho so linsacheha. You have to cut it up into pieces. You don't throw the animal on whole. You do nituach. Hefshek v'nituach. You skin it, and then you cut it into chunks. But the Gemara, the Drasha, could just say, Minitacho so. You should be minatech. Modern Hebrew, nituach is a surgery. That's based on this usage. So you cut it. The white Torah says, "Vitacho salin nesachel." Cut it into its pieces. Just say, "Cut it." The Gemara is a drasha. Osa salin nesachel, v'lo nesachel nesachel. You cut it into chunks. You can't then further dice it into teeny tiny pieces. You have to cut into big chunks and that's it. Meaning, din number one that we know about a carbon ola is you're not allowed to cut it up too much. Okay, therefore. But on the other hand, we have another din. Another din is Rashi quotes, in Dimas for Asya, he says the Gemara also, we also darshan, he tells you to look at Menachas Daf Hey, that the carbon ola is not kosher, carbonas in general are not kosher, if they are a trefa. What is a trefa? To refresh your hula knowledge a little bit. So you know that animal is only kosher if it dies through a proper shechita. If it died without proper shechita, it's a nevela. Even if you succeed in shechting it properly, it's a shechuta rather than a nevela, it could still be problematic if it turns out to have some sort of anatomical defect. A hole in the lung, a hole over here, a tear over there. The whole list in the beginning of the third parak of Chulin, parak El Trefus, the first two parakim about Shechita, the third parak is about Trefus. Different defects, which the Gemara says make it either impossible or at least very unlikely that the animal would survive for a year. It's based on a pasuk and also in Parashat Mishpatim. Uvasar basadet treifa lo sochel akel tashlichen also. The Torah says treifa literally means that it was torof torof yosef. Treifa literally means that it was clawed by a predator. So you have a sheep. So if the sheep it was attacked by a predator. So if the sheep was attacked by a predator, it's dead. So that's an avela. It didn't succeed in shechting and it died through some other cause. That's an avela. Let's say it's still alive. So let me shecht it quickly while it's still alive. There won't be an avela, yes, but the Torah says it'll still be a trefa. It was clawed by a predator, even if you shecht it, it's not kosher, it's a trefa. And the Gemara understands, Hanam understood, that that's an example of a larger category, literal trefa, where it was clawed, an example of a larger category of an animal that has a hole in the lung, a hole over here, a hole over there, a whole long list of holes or cracks or tears that render the animal a trefa. So if an animal is a trefa, it's not kosher for human consumption, and it's also not kosher for carbon. Even a carbon ola, which no human being is going to eat, still, it's not acceptable. A trefa is pasul akrab. So the Gemara says, one second, I understand. There's a long list, as I was telling you, the opening Mishnah on the third parak of Chulin, parak El Tev, there's a long list. Of what constitutes a trefa. A hole of the lung, a hole over here, a hole over there. One of the more obscure examples is, get ready, nikav kerum shel moach. If there's a hole in what's the membrane that surrounds the brain, if you were to do a dissection, I don't know what you do in biolab, but if you do a dissection, on a pig, let's say. So if you open up, if you have the tools, the saw, to open up, to cut through the skull, obviously inside the skull is the brain, but in between the brain and the skull, there's a something called the dura, D-U-R-A, which in Hebrew is called the krum shamach. So like, imagine for a moment a hard-boiled egg, you peel away the hard shell, then there's that membrane between the shell and the white of the egg. So if you open up the skull, in between the cranium, the skull, the bone, and the brain, there's this krum shamach, this dura. If that krum shamach is punctured, the animal is a trefa. So if it turns out that the krum shamach and the dura is punctured, I'm not allowed to eat the meat, nor is it kosher to be brought as a carbon. That's not the most common trefa. Usually think about trefas, think about a hole in the lung. Right? But here's a rarer type of, an unusual type of trefa, and more to the point, a much harder to find trefa. You have easy access to the lungs. But how would you even investigate to see, how would you check to see whether nikav krum shel moach or not? Whether there's a nekev in the krum shel moach. You'd have to start slicing open the skull. Right? You're getting in there.
Without breaking the dura.
So that's going to be hard to do. Because you have to make sure that you cut the skull so carefully that you did not thereby cause. Obviously, it's only a trefa if it was punctured while it was still alive. Puncture after death obviously doesn't make it a trefa. And even if you had the skill and the tools to do this type of investigation, you're not allowed to on an Ola. If you shaft an animal that's chulin for personal consumption, you couldn't say, you want to knock yourself out and do a dissection on the skull? Call a kavod. But if it's a carbon Ola, you're not allowed to. Why? Because the Gemara just said. Nachama. Asimei reisha shal Ola, the head of the Ola. What do you mean? Damar, the Pasuk says, Vinitacho salin esacher. You're supposed to do nituach, heshet vinituach, you're supposed to cut the Ola into pieces. But dafka linesacherha, osah linesacherha, velo nesacherha linesacherha. I can't do a very fine, detailed dissection. I just cut into a couple of big chunks and I put them in the mizbeach. So if I'm just doing a couple of big chunks, a gross dissection, not a fine dissection, so there's no way that I'm going to be able to get inside the skull. So how would I know if it's a trefa or not? Every single carbon ola is by definition suffer trefa. Because if it's indeed nikav krum shal moach, it's a trefa. But I can't know, because I'm not allowed to open up the skull, because that would be a violation of osa l'nesachah, l'nesachah l'nesachim. So it's aser for me to check. It's a violation of Hilchos carbon ola to check and see that it's a kasher of carbon ola. Huh? So how do you ever bring carbon ola? Oh, exactly. V'necha says the Gemara Hashem and Nikab Krum Shal Moach. But why should I ought to be worried that maybe there's a hole in the, there's a puncture in the Krum Shal Moach, in the dura around the Moach, around the brain, and I have no way of checking. Elalav Mishum Damrinan Zil Basaruba. Obviously, I'm following Rove. So the Gemara says, well, maybe there's a way out of it. Then the Gemara goes on to give another 8 or 10 or 12 different Amaram, show different parshas in the Torah, most having to do with Trefa. Eidim Zomim, Paraduma, Eglaruf, many other variations of the same theme, some are a little more different. In every case, how does the din work? There's information I need to know, and I cannot know it for sure. So how do I ever keep this din? The answer must be, Rov. This is the first example. Rav Blah says, the parsha of Ola presumes, implies, that Rov, and that's Ruben Lesekama. Right? It's not, here are five heads, let's look at each one, I don't know which one is. No. I'm making a comment, most animals are not Nikav Krum Shamach. That's a general statistical statement about cows. About sheep. Maybe that cows of a particular age, cows of a particular presentation on the outside, okay. The head that there's no external damage, okay. In most cases, no external damage, there's no internal damage either. That's where wood lace to come on. See, and you see that we were lying. Question?
I understand that there is a robe, but how did they get this robe and assume that there isn't this robe?
Because they check
on it. Ah, because when it's not a carbon ola, we do sometimes cut it open. And over the course of years and decades and centuries and millennia, of human beings opening up animals, we rarely find a neck of a krum shamach. So we can extrapolate, we can project statistically, most likely, you know, based on our observations, chances are, I don't know, 98-2. That this particular animal is not Nikav Krum Shal Moach. I don't know for sure. I'm relying on the Rov. Okay. Now, so that's number one. Okay, so that's the Makkah for Rov. And again, the Sugya continues over the course of Yud Aleph and Aleph, Yud Aleph and Beis, give a whole slew of Makaros for Ruba de Lesa Kaman. But now let's turn our attention to a different halachic topic. And that brings us back once again to the third parish of Maseches Gittin. We were looking a few minutes ago, earlier in Shir, at Chafei, Chavav, and the bottom of Chafches, Amud Aleph, the Shnei Lubish and Yasa Hafish. Now let's move back to the top of Chafches and Aleph. A Mishnah. A maybe get v'nicho, zaki no chola. A husband sends a shuliach to deliver a get, says, right? No saying la becheska shukai. We already looked at this Mishnah earlier in the year. So the shaliach arrives with a get to deliver to the wife, and when he left the husband was an elderly man, or the husband may have not been elderly, but the husband was seriously ill. It could be he hasn't survived. It took the shliach a month or two or three to travel from point A to point B. The husband is residing in Paris. The wife is in Johannesburg. It took, back in the old days, it took a very, very long time to travel that distance. So by the time the shliach shows up months later, maybe the husband isn't even alive. As we said earlier in the year, l'may nafkamina, give her the get, either she's an amon or she's a grusha, but either way, she's not married. No, but nafkamina is going to be, let's say the husband and wife had a wonderful relationship, and this was a get of love. The husband was sending, well, why is he sending his wife to get b'chal, if he's zaking b'chal? The answer is to get shivnera. The husband is, well, he has no children, he has no descendants, and he wants to help his wife, whom he loves, avoid needing chalitz or yibum. The brother is a difficult person to deal with, but the brother is very hard to, he's in a remote location, so he'd rather, he'll do her a favor and be megarisher before he passes away, so that she doesn't have to deal with Zika to the difficult brother-in-law. So the question is, so he's trying to succeed in being megarisher before he passes away and she becomes almana, and therefore zikuka li'iba. The question is, but the shliach shows up months later with the get, arrives to the wife, and hands it to the wife, are we assuming that the husband's still alive? The husband's passed away, the get is invalid, she's an almana, she's no fellow li'iba. So the Mishnah says, no saying lo becheskas shukai. You give her the get on the presumption that he is still alive. And this is a source, and the Mishnah goes on to give other examples of assuming that someone is still alive. Bas Yisrael and Asu al-Kohen. You have a girl who's not Bas Kohen, married to a Kohen. So she's allowed to eat Truma because she's married to a Kohen. But if her husband passes away and there are no surviving children, then she reverts back to being Yisraelis, who's Asura Lechol B'Truma. So let's say husband and wife are not together. They're in two different countries. Halach Baila Medina Sayam, the husband went off on a business trip. She hopes he's alive. She sincerely hopes that her beloved husband is alive. And the Mirtzim will come back in a couple of months and she'll be reunited. But right now, she hopes he's alive. She doesn't know for sure. She hasn't seen him in months. He's off on a boat in the Indian Ocean. Rambam Taka lost his brother David on a boat in the Indian Ocean. So she's hoping that he's alive, but she doesn't know. So when he comes back, Baruch Hashem. Simcha, Sudas Hoda. Right now, she's allowed to eat Truma. Is she allowed to eat Truma? The Safik Daraisa. The answer is yes. Ochelos B'Truma, B'Chesed Shukayim. Last time she saw her husband, he was alive. She doesn't know whether that status changed or not. Chezkas Chai. Case number three in the Mishnah. Hashaleach HaTazim V'Dina Zayam. I send a carbon from overseas. You have a Jew who lives in Panama. You have a Jew who lives in Berlin. You have a Jew who lives in Calcutta. You have a Jew who lives in Melbourne. You have a Jew who lives in Nova Scotia. And he was Michal Shabbos B'Shoge. Rachmal Tzlan, Michal Shabbos B'Shoge. And now he realizes, Gevalt, he's chai for carbon chattas. So he would love to, he really ought to come to Beis HaMikdash and bring his carbon chattas. But he can't, it's difficult. Or he doesn't want to wait. Right now he can't leave, he has an elderly parent, his wife is pregnant, it's not practical to leave now. Rich, I'm a few months from now, travels. Right now he can't leave. Next year he'll go. But he wants to be bringing, he wants to be yotzei mitzvah of carbon chattas. So he sends it with someone else. He buys an animal, and he sends it with someone else, and then this fellow's going to Eretz Yisrael, he'll bring it to the Zemesh Kohan, will take care of it. So the fellow showed, now a few months later, the fellow shows up from Nova Scotia, from Calcutta, from Melbourne. Here's my friend's carbon chattas. They said, call him, ask a few questions. Let's make sure this actually chai carbon chattas. What did he do? What happened? Okay, good. Hitaka was Michal Shabbos, not good, terrible, but appropriate that he ought to bring carbon chattas. Now the question is, well, where's your friend? So he says, well, he's back home. Is he alive? Chattas, a chattas shemesu ba'aleha cannot be brought. Many carbonas can be brought even if the ba'al carbon passed away, but not a carbon chattas. Carbon chattas cannot be brought. The animal has to be disposed of in a very specific way. If the owner passes away, because carbon chattas, the essence of carbon chattas is that it's achieving kapar for the bialin. If there are no longer any bialin, or the bialin already got kapar to some other animal, then the whole carbon chattas sort of falls apart. You can't be makir it. Shahad the car mark of the carbon chatas, Safik deraisa, maybe the guy, maybe it's chatas shemesu ba'aleha, maybe the owner passed away. The answer is, says the Mishnah, makrimino sabaches l'shukai. In all three cases, we do not say Safik deraisa l'chumra, rather we say we're makel based on a chesgas chai. And this Mishnah, so the idea of chazaka, this is the idea of chazaka de meikara, the presuming that the last known status is still the case. I don't know what the status is now, but last time I checked, this is the way it was. So this is, you want to know where does it come from? So it's a Mishnah and Gittin Chav Ches Tamanal. This is if Chazak Nekar is definitely a Gittin topic. Again, it shows up all over Shas, but it's a triple Mishnah, Gittin Chav Ches Tamanal. Where does it come from? How does Chazal know it's a Mishnah? Where did the Tanam get it from? Who told them? You follow Chazaka. So let's just define what we're talking about. Let's just define what we're talking about before we explore where it comes from. It's important to recognize the following. Chayvan Lor B'Lashon Rabba. So Rav Shechter always says, quotes a Pri Megadim, that the word chazaka can mean any of six different things. Pri Megadim doesn't exactly say it. Rav Shechter is being very humble by saying Pri Megadim said, Pri Megadim gets you started a little bit, and I should have to put it together much more thoroughly. There are six different halachic concepts that all will sometimes be called chazaka, ches, zayin, kuf, hey. What they have in common, all of them, almost all of them, they are all presumptions. And that maybe is what the word chazaka as core means, is a presumption. But let's say, for instance, you remember from Bava Basra that Aaron is wearing a shirt, and if I claim that shirt is mine, or Aaron has a mechanical pencil over there. So he's holding the pencil. Smart man. So if I claim the pencil is mine, and he says no, the pencil is his, so unless I have overwhelming proof, he wins. Why? Muchzak. Hamotzi mechaver all of haraya. Right? Because he's the muchzak. He has chazkas mamon. He has a presumption that's his based on his possession of the item. Or, let's say Aaron lives in a house. He has a property. He has a house, he has a factory, he has a farm, whatever it is. He has some real estate. So then, if he can demonstrate not just that he's there now, but he's lived there for the last 3 years, that's Cheskas Habatim. Cheskas Habatim Gimel Shana. Third paragraph of Bava Basra. Neither of those are chazaka de meikara. It's not that it used to be his, I assume it's still his. No. Those are other concepts, but that create a presumption. So one type of chazaka is muchzak. You have possession of a talpum. Another type of chazaka is cheska batim gimel shana. Unrelated, probably. And a third unrelated concept, what we're talking about here, is what we usually call, well, often just call chazaka, but would more properly be called chazaka de meikara. Meikara is mehat mitchila, the way it was. A month ago he was alive, we assume he's still alive. We checked the mikvah a week ago. Mikvah has to be at least 40 sa'ah. Has to have at least that minimum shear, the minimum volume of water. So a week ago we checked the mikvah, and it had 42 sa'ah. But I'm going to go into the mikvah right now. I don't know. Does it still have 42 saw? I can't. You know, if you have lines on the side, I could tell. But let's say you don't have a pattern in the tiles that allows me to tell how much water there is. I don't know. We can go and check. It looks around the same. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit less. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Safek. Oh. Chezkas Mole. The Gemara beginning of Maseches Nidah says, this is a chazak. Last time I checked, it was full. I assume it's still full. Last time I checked, the fellow was alive. You assume he's still alive. Last time I checked, it was Aser, still Aser. We discussed Chazakas Aser first semester. So that's Chazak. And there are three other senses, three other terms, three other concepts also referred to as Chazak. Total six, at least six concepts referred to as Chazaka. We are focused on Chazaka Dineikara. Cheskas Male, Cheskas Iser, Cheskas Tame. All examples of what's either called Cheskas Haguf or Chazaka Dineikara. So again, that is all over Shas. Mishnah is a triple, appears three times in the Mishnah Chav Ches and Alfa Sech is good. But where does it come from? So that's the, wow. Okay. So that, let's wrap up. So So that the Gemara says on Daf Daf Yud Amid Beis, the Gemara gives a source for Chazaka de Meikara. We'll take a look at that. Maybe you already saw this in Seder. We'll read the Gemara together tomorrow. How the Gemara derives Chazaka de Meikara from, of all places, Parshas Metzora, the dinim of Nigei Batim. I leave you with two questions to think about for now. There are a number of mysteries in the world of Chazaka. One is Gittin Chavches, where the Gemara says, well, I can have a Chazaka that someone is still alive, but Chazaka cannot tell me that he will be alive in an hour from now. Chazaka Shema, in Shema Meislo Chashim, in Shema Yamas Chashim. Why? If you believe in Chazaka, you believe in Chazaka. Or the Gemara in Kiddushin is going to talk about what do you do, which is stronger, Rover or Chazaka? Interesting question. So on the one hand, the Gemara has a discussion in Kiddush Daf Pei about what happens when there's a steer between the Rover and Chazaka. The Rover says one way, the Rover says yes, the Chazaka says no. The Rover says Tam and the Chazaka says Tam. Which one do you listen to? But so that's going to give me a sense of which one is stronger, but there'll be other evidence that will indicate the opposite. Some evidence indicates that Rov is stronger than Chazaka. Other evidence indicates Chazaka is stronger than Rov. So a lot of myths, and sometimes Chazaka works, sometimes Chazaka doesn't work, sometimes Chazaka seems to break down, sometimes Chazaka seems, on the other hand, to be enormously powerful, almost magically powerful, illogically powerful. So we're going to have to figure this out. If we can figure out what's going on under the hood, we'll begin to make sense of getting that base on base. Have you ever enjoy your lunch?